Couple of things we're going to get into that today, but a big thing, like I said, as I said earlier, is we do a lot of reading. We read through the Word of God. It is precious to us and it's important. And we've come to this special holiday, this special season, and really the special season that we're in started 50 days ago. And many of you were here for our Passover Seder. We had our Seder here in our community center 50 days ago. We've gone through the counting and we've come to Shavuot beginning tonight. It is a special period of the year. And tonight I want to briefly talk about how it's special and this season in two different ways. One way is from the biblical world of agriculture. The life of Israel, ancient Israel, was all about agriculture. So we're going to talk about it from the holiday, Shavuot, from an agricultural point of view, which is in the Bible, and two, from the also biblical world of spiritual significance of this holiday. So a couple of different ways. First, I want you all to turn with me, if you have your Bibles with you, or your phones, or whatever you have to get the Word of God, is turn with me to Leviticus 23, verse 9. Now, Leviticus 23, 9, just after Passover, the Lord commanded Israel, the Jewish people, to do the following, Leviticus 23, 9 through 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you to reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, so that you may be accepted. On that day, on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." So, right at the beginning, after Pesach, there was this early harvest, and then at Shavuot, there's a latter harvest, two different harvest seasons for two different things. So the early harvest, which was right after Pesach, was a barley harvest. And then, move down to Leviticus 23, we pick up with verse 15, when we come to the next holiday and the next harvest. Leviticus 23, 15, "You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread to be waved, made of 2/10 of an ephah. And they shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord." So this counting for the 7 weeks is what we've been doing, which is the counting of the Omer. The Omer was actually this wave offering described here, and it is the latter harvest that we come to at the end, and that is the wheat harvest. So it's barley at the beginning and wheat at the end. And so you had this wheat bread that was to be waved, these 2 loaves of wheat bread that are going to be waved. So it's simple enough, the agricultural whole idea here in the Bible. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of details about it, but just tells us this was what you were to do as an agricultural society. And we faithfully follow that pattern. We faithfully follow that pattern here. We've been counting, we've been doing all of the things. Even though we're not waving, barley and wheat, we still are doing all of those things in a sense, in a figurative way. But there is a deeper pattern with this holiday that we need to talk about, that we need to recognize here in this season. Passover, the first holiday, is all about God miraculously delivering the Jewish people. We know that. We've been talking about that. And it's a deliverance from slavery in Egypt, where they were enslaved for over 400 years, to freedom in the Promised Land. It's a huge move there. It's a huge journey that they were on. Of course, we know they were in the desert for 40 years. But the idea, the essence of what Passover means is from slavery to freedom. God miraculously brought them out. He sent 10 plagues on Egypt. He forced the Pharaoh to let the people go. And that holiday shows us the redemption, the deliverance of God. But then, as soon as they get out in the desert, they start this counting of this 50 days, which is the counting of the Omer. And traditionally, the counting of the Omer, even though, yeah, it's fun to do it, and it's relatively simple. I actually have on my phone an app where you can just count it every night. You're supposed to count it at night. And you just say a very simple blessing. And you say, this is, week 1 and day something of the counting of the Omer. And you're done. It's very simple. But this time of the counting of the Omer that we've just been through, and I mentioned this at Log Bay Omer when we had it on the 33rd day, it's a tense time of the year. Historically, it's a tense time. From an agricultural perspective, the people were farmers, and so what did they need? They needed the harvests. They needed the rain to come. They needed the crops to come out. They needed the harvest to eat, to live. And so those 50 days of the counting between the two holidays were a very tense time leading up to Shavuot. Extremely stressful. Hoping, praying that that latter harvest, that wheat harvest, would come. We actually see this tension even in the modern observance of the counting and the counting period. Because we look at the holidays that fall during the 50 days between Pesach and Shavuot. They're not biblical holidays, but they're modern holidays. But in the modern holidays that have been added, you could see the tension of this time. The holidays are Jerusalem Day, Israeli Independence Day. And we know how hard fought that was and continues to be for our brothers and sisters in the land. And of course, the third major holiday, besides Lag BaOmer and those other two, is Holocaust Remembrance Day. So you have all these heavy, tense holidays that fall in this time period. But all of this leads us up to Shavuot. And the traditional understanding, spiritually, is that during Shavuot, on Shavuot, the Torah was given to the Jewish nation that came miraculously out of Egypt. They came through the wilderness. They came to the foot of Mount Sinai. And we did the readings, Exodus 19, Exodus 20. They were coming to the foot of Mount Sinai 50 days later. And what did they get? They received this covenant with God. And it was a covenant between God and the Jewish people. And if you look at those chapters in Exodus, I've talked about this before, it's very much like, yes, it's a covenant, but it's very much like a wedding. There's all of these elements of the wedding, a ceremony. And you have, of course, the Torah that was given. That is akin to the wedding contract or the wedding ketubah that we have between that the man gives the woman at a Jewish wedding. So it's a marriage document and a covenant. And we believe at this time, we see the imagery that Hashem, God, he comes down as the bridegroom and he meets Israel, the bride. So there's this wedding covenant and this wedding ceremony that takes place. Exodus 19, 7 and 8. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him, which is the 10 words, the 10 commandments in the Torah. Verse 8, all the people answered, so here comes the bridegroom, and then here comes the bride, Israel. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. This is what they said. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. So they were delivered on Pesach. They were given the very words of God, the Ten Commandments, the Torah on Shavuot. And while we're on this spiritual understanding, you know, we believe, we know that Torah was given, the words of God were given, but there was also something very significant given on this day 2,000 years ago. If you turn to Acts chapter 2 in your Bibles, we also see God pouring out his Ruach, his Spirit at this time. When the day of Pentecost or Shavuot came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So just as God historically gave us his word on Shavuot, he also gave us his very Spirit. So during this holiday, we celebrate all that God has given us. This is very significant. But there's one more point that I wanted to make tonight, really briefly as I close here. And this is woven throughout the entire 50 days. It's woven throughout Pesach and Shavuot and the counting of the Omer. And it's all of these spiritual images here. But what we see is the people had to bring, at the beginning, they had to bring something to God. They had to bring the barley harvest to start off the counting of the Omer. just after Passover. And then if we come to the end of the 50 days, which we're at now, the people had to bring and wave the wheat harvest. And at the time of Shavuot, the people had to come to Mount Sinai and accept the marriage proposal from God. They had to accept the Torah. And you know, they said, all that the Lord has asked, we will do. They accepted that at Sinai. And we see this even with receiving the Spirit. They had to receive it from God. So we see in all of these events, all woven through this, that there's this partnership that happens between God and the people of Israel. Rabbi Arthur Wasko, in his book on the Jewish holidays, says this, quote, Shavuot celebrates the partnership of human beings with God in giving food to the world. We see it with the harvest. Having received from God the rain, the seed, the sunshine, we give back to God not just a dividend on the natural growth, but the value we ourselves have added to it. There has to be something done with this that the people give back. This is really cool because it's not just God giving us everything and we're just receiving everything. It's us also giving back to God. We see this throughout all of these things. Now, I know we like to think that God just does everything and we're just going to sit back, you know, and let the glory pour out, right? And that's always good. We love to do that. And we love to receive from the Lord. We think we're the creation. He's the creator. How dare we say that we're going to do anything? But the truth is, we do have a part to play. We do have things that we need to bring to God. You know, we bring him our sacrifice of praise. We bring him our tithes and offerings. We bring him all the things that we need to do to live out this life. And if you think about it from a Brit Chadashah perspective, we are to be his hands and feet. So there's something that we have to do. We can't just sit back and be passive about it. We can say, oh, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. I'm just going to go on my way. Thank you for all these gifts you're giving me. Yes, we say thank you, Lord, but we also give back to God. And this holiday, I think, woven throughout, even though it's subtle, it teaches us that we have an obligation to meet God at the mountain. We have an obligation to meet God where he is, come to God, and to receive from God. He has a plan, and the beautiful thing is he wants us to be involved in it. So the message, I think, for us tonight and every night is we're not to just sit on the sidelines. This holiday shows us we need to be waving our, you know, barley and our wheat. We need to be waving our sacrifices, our worship and our offerings to God. We need to be standing at the foot of Sinai like they did back then, so to speak, accepting God's word for our lives. We need to be standing there like they stood there 2,000 years ago and receiving God's Spirit. We need to come to God and ask him for these things, thanking God for all that he's given us, but using it not for our own benefit, but to further his kingdom. Using it to be his hands and feet. Using it to speak the things of God, to speak life to people, to do, you know, whether it's helping people out that need help out there in the community, serving at the synagogue. We all have a part to play. You know, everybody thinks, well, the rabbi's going to come here and just do all the work. And I get tired. I don't want to do all the work. You guys need to help out. We're a community, and a community works together. I have a role to play, absolutely. But each and every one of you does too. And honestly, each and every one of you watching on the live stream does as well. We all have a part to play. I don't know what part of the body you are. Many times I don't know what part of the body I am, but I'm just walking and I'm doing and I'm receiving from God, but I'm also giving to God. And I think that's the message for us. On this Shavuot, let's partner with the Lord. Let's purpose to be proactive and walk forward. Now, many times in our lives, God asks us just to sit back and receive from him, or sit back and learn, or sit back and be silent. But as I mentioned in my message yesterday, many times he asks us to step up. That could be speaking up for someone that doesn't have a voice. That could be helping somebody in need, bringing food to somebody, just saying a kind word to somebody. But we all have an obligation. It's an active life. And I think on Shavuot, this teaches us we all need to actively pursue God and pursue living for God. So let's purpose to do that on this Shavuot. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. You have given us your very instructions, Lord. You didn't leave us hanging to wonder who you are, to wonder what to do with what you've given us. You teach us, Lord God. You show us your character every day. And you invite us and even ask us, Lord, to follow after you. We're followers after you, Yeshua. May we be active followers after you. We have your word. We remember that on Shavuot. We have your very spirit. We remember that also on Shavuot. Let's go out, Lord God. Be your hands and feet. Encourage us, strengthen us, Lord God, and help us, not only as individuals, but as a community, as a Kol Mashiach, to impact our world around us in a positive way, to do a mitzvah, to do many mitzvahs as we are in our community, and reflect positively on you and always bring you glory. We thank you and praise you, God, for this wonderful holiday that reminds us of all of these important things and the part that we have to play in your kingdom. In Yeshua's name, amen.